You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
Thunder, baby, bringing it every week, as always. Talkin' Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. I'm B.
And I'm D.
B and D.
As in DJ.
DJ Davis. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon. It is a nice day outside.
Yes, sir.
It's a nice day in Starkville, Mississippi, weather-wise. But the Bulldogs missed that run last night. Lost to Cal State Fullerton 1-0 today.
Tough baseball.
Tough baseball. We're in the regionals. But I'm telling you what, we're cut down to an hour today because the Bulldogs come back on at 1:30, so good luck to them.
Yes, sir.
Get as much rest, get hydrated between now and then, and let's go get Southeast Missouri State. I want to say good afternoon to the hardest man, working man in radio, Mr. John Tabor.
Tabor.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going, man. I know that you probably had a long night, and back at it this morning.
Yeah, somebody's got to make sure the ship rolls.
That's right. I'd like to say, John Tabor keeps us between the white lines. So we've got an expedited show for you today, but we have a great show for you. We're going to start out today. Brett Hudson from the New Star is going to come on and talk about his article he wrote on the special session of the LHSAA, which meets that special session this Wednesday. We're going to talk to Troy Edwards, former Bulldog football player, former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Troy.
Former Biletnikoff Award winner.
I remember old Troy.
Had 21 catches and 405 yards against Nebraska.
Nebraska, yep.
And then we're going to talk to Louisiana Tech president, Dr. Les Geis. Going to talk, he's at the regionals. He was at the game last night and this morning. I'm going to talk briefly about that, but we're going to get into the TOPS situation and what it means for all students, including student-athletes, and the improvements that the athletics facility is making. You know, Dr. Geis, he's kind of a cross between old F.J. Taylor and Dr. Renaud. F.J., man, if it had to do with sports, he was putting them special-made boots down and
whatever we got to do.
Started the Lady Texas basketball program, was instrumental in it, and kept it going. And then Dr. Renaud, who loved athletics, but did so many great things on the academic side, and now you got Dr. Geis, who's kind of a combination.
I can say like a hybrid.
Yeah, a combination. He loves his athletics, and he is not going to let Tech take a step backward academically either. So we've got a great show for you. It is a short show, but a great one. LHSAA information, all area baseball information from the New Star, and Brett Hudson, Troy Edwards on What's Up, and then Dr. Les Geis. And we'll let you go at 1 o'clock. Pre-game show for Tech starting at about 1:15, I'm guessing, John Tabor. And then the game starting at, I think, at 1:30.
Correct.
So we're going to get that good. We're going to go ahead and squeeze in a break. We're going to get a couple of bills paid, squeeze in a break before we get to Brett, and then we'll be off and running. So we're going to go ahead and cut to a break right now. You're listening to Talkin' Sports.
ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get to Brett Hudson, just want to acknowledge the passing of Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yes.
Greatest of all time. Meant a lot to people inside and outside boxing. I remember I grew up watching him.
I think we all did.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Let's welcome Brett in because we can include him in this conversation. Brett, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Brett?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, look, we're just acknowledging the passing of Muhammad Ali. I know you're a bit younger than I am, but I'm sure that there's a no way you went without having some kind of comment or opinion about his career.
Oh no, it was a real gut punch when I heard of his passing. Well, I didn't stay up too late last night, so I actually saw when I woke up this morning. But yeah, what a real blow for the sport of boxing, really. I mean, the last 5 years in boxing. It's been just a hard downhill climb, a downhill slide, I mean. And now that Muhammad Ali passed away, and at least we get to remember the great career he had. But the future of boxing is just in a really unfortunate place now that we still can't. We can't see Muhammad Ali at fights and just remember the great he was. I mean, in how many sports do we have a guy that there's just no debate he was the best of all time? I mean, we could talk for hours about that guy in football and basketball and baseball and most other sports, but boxing has that guy.
Right, and I'm going to tell you what, since he left boxing, you know, I know we still got George Foreman, but he became more of a show. He was a great boxer, but George Foreman became more of a show. Most of the other guys faded into the background and everything, but Muhammad Ali is the last true great boxer that we had.
Yep, and you're right. Ever since he's left, the sport's declined, and that's why MMA, I think, has slowly but surely taken over as the premier fighting sport in terms of fan interest, because it's a more exhilarating form of martial arts, one, and two, because boxing hasn't had a polarizing character, at least in America anyway. I mean, Vladimir Klitschko had his time in Russia, and of course Manny Pacquiao is some sort of godlike figure in what is he from, the Philippines, is that right?
Yeah, from the Philippines, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's a god
but the
there.
But the heavyweight has always been the draw in boxing.
And we haven't had one. Course,
and we had Tyson, but Tyson became a show too. Mm-hmm. Tyson sullied his legacy with all his antics at the end and losing to Buster Douglas like he did because...
biting on people.
I mean, you know, when he first started, if... what's the guy's name? Cus D'Amato.
Cus D'Amato.
If Cus hadn't left, then if hadn't died, Tyson would have been the man for a lot longer.
It would have been epic.
But Tyson's career became a show, so it's still Muhammad Ali is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But let's move on from that. And you at the New Star, today and tomorrow, we've got some special names coming out, so we've got our all-area baseball teams, correct?
That's right, yeah. The softball teams came out last weekend. The baseball teams come out today and tomorrow.
Okay. Can you tell us what was released today? Was it small schools, right?
Today was small schools baseball, yeah. Oak Grove, Jackson Wiley was named the small school pitcher of the year. Wachita Christian's Ryan Reynolds was named the hitter of the year, and all around, like the coolest dude in local baseball, Chad Oland at Claiborne Christian, was named the small school's coach of the year for winning the state championship with the Crusaders this year. But yeah, that's what came out today, and we'll have the big school's honors in tomorrow's paper.
So you can go grab those off the newsstand out of the paper machines, or you can go online to thenewstar.com. And see all the members of that team, and we're moving along pretty quickly, folks. Like we said at the beginning, we've got a shortened show for you, but we wanted Brett to come on to talk about the article that he wrote about the LHSAA special session, which takes place this Wednesday. Brett, talk to us about your article and what it is you're looking for from Wednesday, because we know that they didn't they shucked the go to school anywhere you want philosophy, but tell us what we're looking for Wednesday.
Wednesday, you know, back when they passed the expansion of the select non-select split in January, they put some subcommittees to work because they got the feeling that that move wasn't necessarily as popular as they would like it to be, despite the fact that it passed with a majority. So they tried to find a solution that, frankly, the LHSAA liked better than the one that passed in January. So they called a special meeting for Wednesday, as you said, to present that plan. And as we found out a couple days ago, there are going to be four plans on that agenda for which the membership can vote, one of which is the LHSAA's plan. Quickly, for football, it would combine 5A and 4A from the select non-select split. So 5A and 4A would no longer be split in any way. 3A, 2A, and 1A would be in a rural metro split that the LHSAA proposed back in January and hilariously failed at. And then for all non-football sports, Class B and Class C would be combined into one Class B. That's the LHSAA's proposal. There's one proposal to eradicate the select-non-select split and reclassify private schools into the 1A through 5A system with a 1.5 multiplier on their total enrollment. There's another proposal out there. My personal favorite, not that anyone cares, but my personal favorite is one that adds a 6A for the largest 32 schools in the state, plus programs like John Curtis and Evangel who want to play up into 6A. And then 5A through 1A would be divided with public schools being placed in where their enrollment deems them fit and private schools that have at least 25% of their student-athlete enrollment coming from outside of their predetermined attendance zone. They would have a multiplier of 1.25% on their enrollment and then be classified that way. That's the third proposal. And the fourth proposal is actually much more simple than the others. It simply cuts out 1A in football and cuts out Division IV in football to cut the current select-non-select split down from 9 football championships to 7.
Okay. Now, I'm understanding that we have Ruston High principal Ricky Durr to either blame or credit for this.
Yes, he's actually the man behind my favorite proposal, the one that adds a 6A for the 32 largest schools in the state, plus schools like John Curtis who would wish to play up into that 6A. But, yeah, he's behind that proposal. It's a proposal that's been talked about all the way through. He and Todd Geis came together to put almost this exact proposal up back in the madness back in December and in January. So it's not a new proposal, but with fewer cooks in the kitchen this time around, with only 4 proposals up, I think it has a better chance to be voted on. And from what I've heard from local ADs, it's somewhat popular.
Good. Like I said, either to credit or blame, you know, so it just depends on where you're coming from. And I know Ricky, you know, Ricky's from Simsboro, and he was the principal at Simsboro first, and a coach there, and he was coaching at Rust, and now he's the principal there. So he's coming at it from both sides, you know, the small school side and others. But I kind of like the idea of the 6A for your biggest schools because it gives those bigger schools that chance to compete all against each other, plus keep some of those 1A private schools maybe from doing the things that were getting to everybody before, you know, and then you've got everybody else. So I think that's become my favorite also.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and in the interest of full disclosure, I'm from the state of Alabama, and this system is eerily similar to what goes on in Alabama. And, you know, I grew up in Alabama for the entirety of my adolescence, and that system has worked like a dream for the entirety of my youth there in Alabama. And actually, just a few years ago, they did what this proposal would do, which was add another classification for the largest schools in the state and have them play in the playoff almost exclusively against one another for those largest 32 or so schools in the state. Alabama just did that, and I haven't heard any complaints out of that system. So if nothing else, Ricky Durrett and anyone else who is out there with ADs battling on behalf of this proposal can say, look at our neighbors in Alabama and Tennessee. They've had this system in place for almost 2 decades now, and they aren't tearing at each other's throats like we are over here.
Right. Okay. All right. So what we'll do is we'll encourage everyone to read your article that hasn't already. Then we'll try to have you back. Are you going to go down there for the session?
I'm not, but I'm going to have some folks down there for me. So I might as well be. We'll put it that way.
Okay. All right. So we'll try to have you back next week to talk about the results.
Sure thing.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Now I've got your article on the show's Facebook page. That's Talking Sports 977 FM, Facebook page. But tell us how we can keep up with you this week and where to look for that article that you are, that you already had posted.
Yeah, everything's at thenewstar.com, thenewstar.com. And follow me on Twitter at bhudsontns. I'll have a preview for the meeting coming up, and I'm going to go back on the timeline and kind of rewind the situation to remind everyone how we got to this point. Because if, unless you're someone like us and you're being paid to follow up with this, it gets crazy confusing. I understand that, so I'm going to try and help your listeners and our readers remember how we got to this scenario so they aren't going into this dark.
Absolutely.
Hey, Brett, let me ask you something real quick before we let you go. In your opinion, are there any, I guess if you want to look at it this way, are there any losers in these proposals? Is it anybody that you see could not benefit from some of these recommendations?
I'm glad you brought that up. The LHSAA's proposal, I mentioned earlier that a part of it called for the combination of Class B and Class C for one Class B, one non-football playing class for every non-football playing school. And I had a conversation with a local Class B athletic director who is convinced that if given the opportunity to vote for that, 90% of Class B and Class C schools would vote against that. That I think it's kind of a scapegoaty kind of move to cut down on the number of championships being awarded in this state. So I think if it got to that point and that proposal passes, which just for the record, I'd give that a snowball chance in Hades if that happens. But if it does, I think Class B and Class C schools would be a massive loser in that situation.
Right. I agree.
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked that question, DJ. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to get Ricky Durrett on, and I'm going to reach out to maybe Tony Antley at Shudrant and get his thoughts on that, on the smaller schools as well. Brett, thanks for being here, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Troy Edwards. You're listening to Talking Sports
on ESPN 97.7.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. You can chime in with us. 888-993-7762, the Car King Hotline, and the Pulpwood Producers Text Line. Hit us up on Twitter.
That's at T-Sports 977 FM, sponsored by and partnered with Glassworks of West Monroe. That's the Twitter feed.
You can go to our Facebook page and look at Brett's article, the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/TalkinSports 977 FM. We're joined right now by Louisiana Tech legend, Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame inductee,
yes, sir,
former Biletnikoff Award winner, Mr. Troy Edwards. Troy, welcome to the program.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Doing great.
Real good.
It was real good catching up with you the other day, Troy. You and I were talking. I watched everything you did at Tech. I wasn't there your last year. I watched everything, and the thing that really, I'll just lead off with this, the thing that really always impressed me about Troy Edwards was as much smack as he talked, he never took a play off in practice. I saw plenty of players who always got hurt during practice. But he was out there working hard in practice. He would give it to the DBs, but if he took a shot, I remember Cornbread Maxwell I called him Cornbread because that's what I remember from the Celtics, but He caught a pass in practice, and the DB took you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you got up laughing, but you got up, high-fived him, and still told him he couldn't stop you. but you didn't get mad when they took a shot at you, anything like that. So how's it going for you these days?
It's going good, man. Real pleased. And I got my oldest son, now Troy Jr., he's 17 years old. And, you know, he played wide receiver, and he do a lot of good plays. You know, he has great hands. But the best thing that I was most proud of from last year, he got the award on the team for the hardest working person on the team. And I just think that means so much.
Absolutely, because, you know, again, I'm going to tell you, I was at every practice for, you know, 2 years, your first 2 years, and I didn't see you taking any plays off, so.
I've never missed a practice or two. Not missed my one third.
Now, the first, you know, Troy Edwards, the first thing I heard about Troy, I'm talking to Gary Croton, and, you know, Troy, so everybody will know, Troy was a Prop 48 his first year coming out of Huntington High School.
Right.
And Croton, this was Gary Croton's first year as head coach. They had the day where everybody reported, tested out, did their vertical, benched, all that kind of stuff, ran. And Troy ran a sub-4.5. He benched 225 19 times. You correct me if I'm wrong, Troy. And I think it was a 42-inch vertical, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Croton said, he goes, I just went to my desk and started drawing up plays, figuring out how to get the ball in his hands.
one of the smartest football minds I've ever been around in my life, Coach Gary Croton.
I'm telling you, he could draw it up. He could treat any game like it was a parking lot game and get you the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've always said the two things that Coach Croton didn't know anything about were defense and discipline.
You know what? He was actually too nice of a man to do any discipline. He was a wonderful person.
He is. He was a good man. So tell me about Huntington. You come out of there. Scored a lot of touchdowns at Huntington. And again, you and I talked the other day, and I remember one story you told me. At the same time you were playing at Tech, we had Jared Procell from Airline.
Otis Pitts was on that team, too.
Otis Pitts, absolutely.
And, they were teammates.
Yep. And you had a time at Huntington where you were running, and Jared Procell, who ended up, I mean, he was a D-tackle, for the Buffalo Bills for a short time, but you said he ran you down from behind?
Yeah, it was that was my first year playing running back because I was on defense my other 3 years at Huntington. And that's what I know, because I think he was number 11 in high school, and he tackled me on the sideline, and I just couldn't believe somebody that big was moving that well.
Procell, he could get after
you. I remember old Procell.
Yeah, Procell. Yeah, good player. Pitts. Yeah. So
so crazy about it. I'm over Otis' house right now as we speak.
Well, tell him hello for us. get him on speakerphone. Let him chime in. He can tell me whenever you're not telling the truth. Coming out of Huntington, were you getting a lot of offers?
I had a lot of offers. LSU kept coming. LSU was the main one that kept coming. But the thing about LSU. Kevin Falk and everybody had committed there. And it was it wasn't enough football in the backfield because when I first came out, I was a running back. And Coach Colton had on me to receive, convinced me to go to receiver when my second year in college. But I just wasn't going to go to LSU because Kevin Falk and everybody else had committed there.
Right. Well, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Now, I remember that first year. I mean, the first year that you played. Jason Martin, cannon arm, threw for 5,000 yards. Bobby Raytel on a team that threw the ball more than 500 times. He still had 880 something yards rushing. To me, that was outstanding.
He's a good player, though. One of the most underrated players ever to come to Louisiana Tech.
Absolutely. Now there's a game against Mississippi State. We're in Starkville. And I'm up in the press box, and it's late, and we're driving, and we're probably on the 30-yard line or something.
Yeah.
And Jason Martin throws a bullet. I mean, a bullet. Everybody in the press box, the ball was gone. There was no hope for it. It was going out of bounds out the back of the end zone. And everybody in the press box, whether they were from Mississippi State or Tech, was like, oh, you could hear it. Oh, all of a sudden – these hands come out of nowhere, snag the ball. It was like you couldn't even see. It was like, whoop, whoop. Ball was caught and down, and the refs are standing there, hands up in the air. And it was like, who caught that ball? And that was Troy. I know Troy remembers that.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I think that was my first. That might have been my first touchdown.
Man,
it was a good one, though.
It was. That ball was gone. And
but I tell you what, he had a go-to, man. That was pretty good. Chad Maggett, one of the greatest players I ever watched with my own eyes.
Yep, Chad could do it all.
He
had it all, and I wish that we could have seen him continue his career, but I know he had that hamstring that was just torn up. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened on that play? Tell me. I'm hoping you can remember. I know that you got 1 foot down. That's all you needed. But
that's
you
all I got in was one. They gave me a post. You know, a lot of times people play like a quarter coverage when you get down to the 30 to the red zone. And we always watched them that year because, you know, when our team, we was independent at the time. When you play an SEC team, they get kind of cocky. Your athlete's not better than ours. So a lot of times they're going to go pretty much one-on-one. So we end up running like a short dig, so the safety jumped it, and I was one-on-one with the cornerback, and Jason just gave me a chance because you know they was going to double and roll the coverage to Mackey. And he gave me a chance late. I was like the third read on the play, and we beat Mississippi State.
Absolutely, and I remember we got a ticket. The bus got a ticket on the way home in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, they gave us a ticket for beating them, but that's all right. I get a ticket every time if we can pull out a win like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, talking about other teams, not just SEC teams, but other teams not respecting Tech at that time, I remember when Toledo came to town.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Toledo
that
had the 21st ranked overall defense, and they played Chad Mackey one-on-one. And the man played three quarters, had five catches, four touchdowns, and over 300 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Five catches.
I was so amazed by Chad when I first got there. He was a Michael Jordan of my world when I first got to Louisiana Tech. Yeah, I mean, I learned so much from him, and then he was a good person, one cocky, arrogant, and then I it was an honor to meet Chad and play with him.
Chad Mackey was a good dude. Now we go on to your second year, and we're going to hit some highlights. We're gonna go to Alabama. And remember that game was delayed by lightning.
Yep.
And then the Bulldogs brought the thunder.
Oh yeah.
Then I was on the field at the end of the game when that last drive when Tim Rattay, another good Tech quarterback, Tim Rattay.
Great quarterback.
Kept coming to you, and you kept making yards and slipping and diving and dipping. And tell me what you remember about that game.
When the huddle, Tim told me regardless he was going to go to me. He said he didn't care if they doubled me or not. He was going to me regardless. You know the crazy thing about the whole situation, Stuart? I think Tim, and I got a lot of faith in myself. I thought I was the greatest ever. But I think Tim had just as much confidence as I had in myself.
Absolutely. I remember one time, it was at, you know, we had that weekly press conference in the Wagner Room over at the Thomas Assembly Center. And I remember you telling me one time you would take Tim over Danny Werfel.
I'd take Tim over anybody, and I would say that to the day I die. If you take the stats and look at Tim's career, take all his years, I think he's the greatest college quarterback ever to play the game.
I wouldn't really disagree with you, but at the time I remember you saying Werfel, he just throws the ball up, and Tim, he throws it to you, but where you can be out of danger, he doesn't leave you hanging.
Yeah, the location is excellent, and also you got to look at the people he played with. And Werfel is a great player. He was a great player in his own right, but what I'm saying is Tim threw to Sean Cangelosis, John Simon, you name any Paul Jenkins, everybody you can name, Larry Wright. He made all of us great. It wasn't just the first-round pick, Troy Edwards, that he threw to. Wolfe threw to every first-rounder that it was. You know, Jacquez Green, Ike Taylor, Rita Anthony. He had all first-rounders around him. Tim Rattay made everybody look great. If you get drafted or never play in the NFL at all, and I think that's amazing.
Remember Tyler Lassane?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tyler, little fullback out of South Louisiana, man, had multiple two-point conversions.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
you know Rattay coming right to him, and Josh Bradley. You remember that game against in Shreveport?
Nobody could bring him down, and then they blitzed everybody. They saw zero and leaving left him wide open up the middle.
Yep. And now we're gonna go to the game, the last Tech game. I believe it was the last one. It was the second one of the 2-year agreement against Northeast.
Let's not go there right now.
When did you play?
Hey, Troy, I'll tell you this, Troy. 97-98, we brought back the ULM, NLU versus Louisiana Tech rivalry. And we only did it for 2 years, and they don't want to do it anymore. But that was some of the greatest football of my time. I was there in 97-98.
That that has to be the craziest thing ever to not play each other. You know how big of a game it is and how wild it is?
Absolutely. Yep. Nope. You don't. It's a money making game simply because you don't have to spend any money.
No.
Yeah.
15 minutes
yeah.
to throw. Either way.
And then most of the people we played against each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Growing up and all that kind of stuff. Now, the first game, we're at Tech, and Tech wins at 17-16. Everybody's got nerves and all that kind of stuff. Then we go to Northeast.
The next year, y'all come to us.
And Troy, it looked like Troy was the only one on the field.
Oh, crazy.
Winning
crazy.
On offense. And I remember the Tech band.
Hello?
Hey, can you still hear us? Can you hear us?
I'm still connected.
Yeah. We got you.
Yeah, we got you, Troy.
Hey. Uh-oh. You still with us?
I think he didn't hear us. I don't think he heard us, but we still got him.
May have Call to try drop. To get him back. Okay, let's try to get him back. Me and DJ will cover this.
Yeah.
I'll bring this back up when he comes. So I forgot that you
Yeah, 97.
That was the second year.
Yeah, we went to Tech in 97, and then Tech came to us in 98, and great football. Now, like you said, in 97, it was a lot more of an exciting game, obviously, because it was real tight.
Yeah.
But when they came over to ULM that 98 year, it got out of control.
And the tech band started playing one little, two little, three little Indians, four. And, man, I thought I was going to – I was in the stands at that point. That was after I left Tech.
Yeah, and how many years ago that's been? And for whatever reasons, the powers that be would not put that game back together.
And that's just, to me, that's ridiculous.
It's mind-boggling.
Because they should be playing every sport every year.
It was so much fun. I mean, just even in the community, even for us as players, like you say, because I had opportunity to play against some of my old teammates. You think about the Larry Wrights, the Jerome Kings, And it was just fun. It was just fun. And I really hate that we can't get that kind of stuff, kicked back in and get it conjured back up.
Yeah, still can't get in touch with Troy. So I know John's going to keep trying. But it does boggle the mind that they won't do it. Now, there's money people. It looks like we got him back. Troy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We were just talking about that second game. My co-host here, DJ Davis, was playing for Northeast at that time.
DJ, is this a safety DJ?
What's that, Troy?
What position you play, DJ?
I was outside linebacker.
What number you are?
16.
Oh, man, get out of here.
Same yeah.
number. Where you from, DJ? Where you originally from?
Hey, me and Larry Wright graduated together from West Monroe.
Yeah, I know. But trust me, I still talk to Larry Wright, one of my closest friends.
Oh yeah, and Jerome King, and who my principal. Rodney Lloyd. Rodney Lloyd is my principal now.
I know, man. I know you from my big room. I know exactly who you is, man. Yeah.
Yeah. DJ's the football coach at Riser Middle School, and that's where Rodney's the principal.
Yeah. Man, that's a small
world,
ain't that
so? That is. And we were talking about that second game against Northeast where the Tech band started playing at one little, two little, three little Indians. That was hilarious. But then we go on, and we had some great games that year. You played with some great players. Big Josh Bradley set a national record for tight ends with most catches and everything. He had back issues that kept him out. But then your last year, you start off the season in the Eddie Robinson Classic against Nebraska, and 21 catches, 405 yards.
He's on fire.
He is, and then Rattay had 590 yards passing, and Tech lost that game. It was a great game, and the two things that I remember most were Troy still getting after it in the fourth quarter. Not slowing down, still abusing defensive backs, and the Nebraska fans giving you a standing ovation as you walked off the field.
Yeah. You know the crazy thing about that whole game? A lot of people look at the game like it was a great game. To my judgment, it was a terrible game. I think I had two drops. I left two touchdowns on the field that day. Honestly, the second game I played against Northeast, that's one of my best and hardest games I ever played in my life. I had no mistakes. I had no mistakes in that game. I played against the second game against Northeast. I played a good game. I played a hard game. It was way harder than Nebraska. Northeast had some great players that year. Patrick Dennis and HD and all of them had a good team, a real good team.
And I forgot one. I need to back up. So before the Nebraska game, the last game the year before was at USL.
Oh, yeah. I averaged 3 touchdowns a year on USL.
And I'm going to tell you, that last game, it's almost like you average 2 touchdowns every time you touch the ball.
Yeah.
It rained, and we were just putting it on them. I remember Farrell, who writes for the Shreveport Times, Scott Farrell said that Troy Edwards put up Sega numbers. It was like he was playing a video game.
But they had a good player down there, too. They had Stokely down there, one of the greatest receivers to play college football, too.
Brandon Stokely scored the first touchdown for the Baltimore Ravens the year they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Louisiana people, you know, we some of the greatest they ever do it now.
All right, so, Troy, you had a nice honor within the last year, got inducted into the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The best thing about that, my kids got a chance to see it. No, that was nice. That was real nice.
There you go. I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that you got the recognition for all the things, the records and stuff that you set there, and you got to go back. Tim's coaching there now. And the Bulldogs are doing some good things.
They are. They really are.
All right. Well, then you go and you get drafted. You're the 13th overall pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You had a good rookie year. I think it was 68 catches.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell us what goes on from there.
You know what, man? The whole thing about the NFL is, and I honor and respect it. I've been blessed to play, but it was a little too much politics and corrupts for me. Like all the fun left out of it. And I tell everybody this, when football was football, just regular football, we put our cliques on and we go out there and play for the love of the game, I was pretty decent. But when it started being about politics and you got to smile for this guy, you got to act like this and do this, it kind of burned me out real quick with that. And I'd rather get out the NFL before I sell my soul, before I can live my life free.
Okay.
That's some good.
And a lot of people come to me and ask questions. This is the main thing. They say, Troy, your career in the NFL is kind of like that. And you notice the key word of that whole conversation. You said I had a career. So to me, if you had anything with a career in professional sports, you already have been successful.
Yeah, you did 7 years. Six or seven years.
Eight professional years, man.
Eight, good. Okay, so you did 8 years, and based off the average, like you say, that's a pretty decent thing to be able to say that you did 8 years, man. Because you got a lot of people, man, who don't have three, and the ones that's doing 15, they're struggling long term anyway. So.
Yeah. And you know what? You know the whole thing about it. I was not gonna play it, and I never had surgery, never missed practice ever in my life. I wasn't gonna play that long anyway. I've never been a big football. Okay, I have never been to a football game when I haven't played the game other than watching my kids. I don't sit down and watch football games now. I'm just not this type of guy. I'd rather fish. Like my life has so much other stuff that make me happy, and. I mean, football, I'm blessed. I was blessed for it. But my life is so much more in it. I have so much other stuff to do.
Right.
So what are you doing now? Fill us in.
Right now, I'm just basically just raising my kids, man. I work for Mansfield ISD up here, you know, work with special needs kids and everything. And by me working with special needs kids, it taught me so much. You know, we sit where I sit and talk a lot of noise, and If the world could be like special needs kids, we'd have a good world. Just they don't care about color, money, how tall you are, fast you are, anything. They just love you because you be nice to them, and they have taught me just so much about life itself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, Troy, we're gonna let you go. I really appreciate you taking the time to come back on with us. We wanted to catch up with you. We really enjoyed it. Glad to know that you're doing well. Glad to know that we still have all these memories that people can enjoy from Huntington High School, Louisiana Tech, NFL, arena ball. You've got some great memories, some great experiences to share with your kids and with others. And tell Big O that we want to get in touch with him one day and have him on here.
Big Pitts.
We appreciate him hanging out with you.
Hey, thank y'all too, man. Hey, tell Big O we said what's up to me and Otis.
Hey, I'm gonna let him know. I'll see him on Monday.
Hey, thank you, DJ.
All right.
Thanks again, bud.
All right.
We'll be back with more Talking Sports. Welcome back to the program. You can join us, 888-993-7762. That's the Pulpwood Producers text line and the Car King hotline. Right now we're joined by Louisiana Tech President, Dr. Les Geis. Dr. Geis, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Fine. Thanks for the invitation. Good afternoon.
Well, I wish we could be talking on better terms. I know you sat through a loss this morning. Some good times last night, ended at 0-0 after 7. But Bulldogs couldn't pull it out, and they're getting ready to play again. So hopefully you and the Bulldogs got some hydration after that.
Yeah, the team was a little disappointed, but, you know, they played great and had fantastic pitching. Really proud of the way they played and the way they fought and fought back really all season long. I look for them to come back against Southeast Missouri State, really heat their bats up and pull this thing out.
Yeah, they got to remember that, you know, how they did it to end the season. Got great pitching, had 12 strikeouts in the game, but just couldn't pull it out. 1-0 loss. But we just got finished talking with Troy Edwards. I know you got a lot of great memories of watching Troy on the playing field.
Absolutely. He had that great game against Nebraska, but many great games at Louisiana Tech. We were real glad to be able to welcome him into the Tech Hall of Fame this year as well. So
absolutely. My co-host is DJ Davis. DJ played football at West Monroe and at ULM. And he was on the field trying to stop Troy in that second game in that series back in 97-98. And we were just talking about that off the air, you know, because I've always said Troy was one of the hardest workers I'd ever been around. I watched every practice for 2 years, and he never took a playoff even in practice. And DJ was saying that he talked the whole game, even when you hit him, but he backed it up.
He was known for doing that, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, let's get on to what brought you on the show for. One of the main topics I wanted to talk about, let's get to smaller stuff in some cases, the improvements. We've got the Davison Athletic Complex, and we're going to get a new press box that I'm definitely going to want to come up and see after spending so much time in the old one.
You know, we don't have a very good environment for you right now, but we do know that it's important really for a number of reasons, to improve the accessibility of our skybox areas and our press box and just make it more adaptable to the kind of media and all that we have nowadays. So we look forward to that. We're out raising funds for it, already developing our plans, and, you know, the best case right now is that we would have that to be able to begin construction at the end of this season, but if we're not able to pull the trigger that quickly, then we're pretty confident we'll have it ready to go after the next season.
Well, I know two comments from some of my colleagues in the local ESPN family. Sean Fox said, if you've already been able to get approval to go ahead with construction, we know that even if you don't have all the funds raised, you've got a majority of them raised enough to get the go-ahead.
Get the ball rolling.
So that's a great thing. And then, as Nick White would say, winning is your best marketing tool. So the winning
that
Tech
right.
is... Winning the winning Tech's accomplished over the last few years, I'm sure really makes that fundraising a tad bit easier.
There's no question about it. You know, as we go out around, people are enthusiastic, broadening the support, and that's really been our goal, is to get more and more people contributing to the growth and success of our athletics program and our university, and we're seeing that everywhere we go, and the great turnout of fans at the games. We've been bringing more of our former athletes back on these special Legends Days. You know, we had 200-plus former football players show up this past season and have done similar things in basketball and baseball, and just believe that's a real important part of building the support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, DJ and I were talking off the air, and I've talked with several people about this, but I'm calling you kind of a combination of FJ Taylor and Dan Renault, because we know how much FJ, excuse me, we know how much Dr. Taylor was in to athletics. And then we know that while Dr. Renaud loved his athletics, he built the academic side up to a great level. Would you agree with that assessment, or do you feel like you're a combination of both? Because we know how you feel about athletics.
It's an honor to be considered in the same ballpark as those two. F.J. Taylor was there when I was hired as a faculty member, and then I worked under Dan Renaud for many years. And I did respect what both of them were able to do. But I believe, you know, the academics and athletics have to go together. If we're building this national research university, we've got to have a great athletics program to increase the visibility. We're all about recruiting talent, not just students, but our faculty, and even these companies that are beginning to move into North Louisiana. They wouldn't do it without wanting to be associated with a national university that has a great athletics program.
Absolutely. So congratulations on all of that that's taken place, continuing the tradition, building and increasing the tradition. So as a tech grad, got to give you props for that.
Thanks,
appreciate all that you're doing.
Appreciate it. Well, we're blessed to be able to be a part of this, for sure.
So let's get to the other topic that you and I went back and forth on through email and everything. TOPS. It's going through some turmoil because the state's going through some turmoil. My take on this is it's not Jindal's fault. It's not the guy before him. It's all of them fault because we've been living on that oil money, spending things on things that we shouldn't have. Everybody greasing their own plate, and now we're paying the price, and it's our education system that's going to pay the price. So my understanding now is what we're going forward with is they're not going to do away with it, but they're going to freeze it, and they're going to raise the standards. I don't have a problem with raising standards, but tell us how this is going to affect the incoming freshmen and your take on how it's going to affect the student-athlete.
Well, obviously, TOPS is real important to us as an institution for increasing the accessibility of higher ed to students in Louisiana, and also to keep the best and brightest people in the state. We don't want them coming over to Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Texas A&M. We want to keep them there, and so that's why TOPS is so important to us. And almost 90% of the freshmen that come to Tech are top scholars, so obviously it's real important to us as a university to see it continue. I do believe, you know, everyone's intention, it's a high priority to sustain TOPS for the future. The efforts that are being made right now will help probably manage the growth, and I do believe that the legislature, as it grows more resources, will invest more in TOPS for the future. There is a big gap that needs to be filled right now, and hopefully that'll get done during the special session, and I feel confident that it will, from what I'm hearing, you know, just listening to things at the legislature. But there's about, really, to make higher ed whole right now, it's about a $250 million gap, of which about $100 million is for higher ed funding, and then the other $150 million is for TOPS. And we'd sure like to see both of those covered during this special session.
Absolutely. So what is your role as a Louisiana University president? What is your role when it comes to the legislature and issues like this?
Well, we spend a lot of time communicating with our legislators and letting them know what's important. You know, really communicating to the public about the importance of higher ed. Our state, if we want to be able to compete with other states for the long term, higher ed has to take a real positive leadership role. And we have, but we have to be funded at a level that allows us to compete. And so we're trying to get that message and make it clear. You know, there's a lot of things that goes on in the legislature, and we want to make our messaging as simple as possible what we need, but be there to answer their questions as well.
Well, Dr. Geis, I know you've got a big role to play there. You got a big role to play on campus, as well as some of the things we've talked about off campus with the fundraising, managing the faculty, and I know you've got a lot of great assistants with that. I really appreciate you taking the time today. I know you're over in Starkville watching the Bulldogs, and we're going to count on you to root them to a win in the second game.
Well, we'll be there watching them here in just a few minutes. So, but Boo, thank you for the opportunity to get out and speak and share the good news about Louisiana Tech.
All right, Dr. Geis, you have a great afternoon, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs, Byron.
And DJ, before we go off the air, we gotta go right now. But
right,
you know, the challenge that I issued last week for Facebook, you know, let's go get these likes.
Right.
Right now, it's kind of like we're two old men. We went out to play one on one, and we're playing to 21. But we've been playing for 2 hours and scores 2-0.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
I mean, you know, we had less than 30 likes in a week.
Well, what I'm going to do, I know I have several people who've already been texting me saying that they're listening in. I'm going to reissue the challenge out because I feel like Team D over Team B, I feel like we can make this happen over the next 7 days. So if you're out there listening, let's make sure you go like it, comment. Matter of fact, they can comment too. Let them comment. Mm-hmm. And say Team D, and we'll exactly know what's going on because I feel like we can overtake this and do what we need to do.
Well, you haven't so far, so, you know, again, we're just talking now.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
So just talk now.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, thanks for a great show. Thanks for listening in. Thanks to Dr. Geis, Troy Edwards, Brett Hudson.
Oh, man, it was awesome today.
We only had an hour, but I think we had a jam-packed hour. Couldn't have done it without John Tabor. Thank you, sir. I know you got a lot of work to do. So thanks to our broadcast partners, Jeremy Hilton, Shield to Shelter Insurance. We've got,
you got to look at Car King.
Car King.
Don't forget them, Pulp World Producers.
D-Bat.
You got Glassworks and my people over at Riverport.
Riverport yeah. Creative.
Oh, yeah.
Assurance Financial. We've also got, Gina Eubanks.
Yeah.
Allstate Insurance. And we've got Greg Phillips with State Farm Insurance. Again, thanks to Mr. Tabor. Thanks to all the listeners. Let's go get this challenge done. Look for us on Facebook. We're going to post some posters that we're going to give away.
Oh, yeah, those were nice posters.
Absolutely.
Can I win one of them?
No.
Oh.
All right. So that's the show. That's the show for today. Jam-packed hour. Thank you for listening. Go Dogs, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.